I was quite mildly amused as we read that famous chapter together of love, and how where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And as I get older, that's sure true. And that dim mirror that you look in that dim mirror some mornings and you think, whoever's that staring back at me? It's the way life unfolds. But God is good, and God is good all of the time. We've already taken two looks into the New Testament at occasions when we're asked to consider. Consider Jesus. I'm not going to ask you if you remember last week's, because that would be terrible if you couldn't. But we talked about considering the tongue and the devastation that that little member can bring. Consider Jesus, consider the tongue. Well, there's a number of considerations in the New Testament. We're not going to look at them all. We've just selected for this short series four, and we come to the third this morning, which is found in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. Consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. One very eminent scholar called Donald Guthrie, who'd be mildly amused if he'd heard that said about him, but in his commentary on Hebrews, points out at this point in the writer's letter that the use of the words consider and spur jump out at you for their strength. There isn't the voice. There's something in the words that are strong. Consider. It means to give concerted thought to. Not just passing regard. Consider. Give concentrated thought to. Scratch the head. Puzzle. Focus. And he talks about the spur. How we may spur one another. And you know what spurs were? They were those sharp pointed things at the heels that riders had. And at a given point, they would clip them into the ribs of the beast below them to cause it to shoot, to spur it on. Consider, give thought to. How you may spur, give that resurgence of energy to. And so in the other translations that there are, and modern translations, the NEB talks about spurring as arousing. And the New Revised Standard Version talks about provoking, spurring. It's not a word we use very often, but there's an energy in it. So what the writer's saying here is not a mild passing, well, just consider yourself grateful or lucky. No, consider, give passionate thought to how you might spur one another in this endeavour. And maybe there are four things we can glean from these words that might help us in that process. And the first is this. These words are a collective call to do this to the church to whom he was writing. It was a collective call. And the church is a collective. You and I make it up. And it's a call from time to time. Hey, just stand back a minute and give concerted thought to this and how it may be spurred on. I know we live in a day and age where a lot of people, you probably heard them say this about the church. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Heard that one? No. But then, is it logical to say,
To be a footballer, you don't need to belong to a team.
Well, I suppose you could kick a ball about, but that's not really football. If you want to really play football, you have to be part of a team. And if you want to be a Christian, you have to be part of the team. Another writer once described those folk who step apart from the collective concept of the church as pious particles in isolation. I suppose there are people like that who've got, we talk today, don't we, about being spiritual. And it could be anything from crystals to goodness knows what. And it's, oh, we've got a spiritual streak. Really, that's a kind of pious partialism. You need to be part of what God is doing. And the church is a collective. And sometimes the word of God comes to us and challenges us as a collective. And if we're taking our look at this seriously, it is asking us to step aside, to give concentrated, head-scratching thought to, and how it might spur us into action. It's a collective call. It's one that you and I can take and give thought to. It calls us to do that. The second thing is, it's a call which is conceptual, because it comes from the very concept of what lies at the heart of the church. There is something there that is deep and true at the very heart of it. And it has four letters, L-O-V-E. And it's around that concept. We're asked to concentrate our thoughts by this consideration this morning. You know, churches are prone, and it's very true, we're all the same. We get into a kind of inertia of life, don't we? And we're so busy doing what needs to be done that sometimes the important things get lost. It can happen with business, it can have a concept and it can lose it. It can happen in a marriage, the important things get missed out. And it can happen in church life. The very heartbeat of what we're about can be overlaid by all kinds of other things. It can be that, as you know, there are times when the importance of reading one's Bible regularly and praying's mentioned. And for many of us, there may be a daily routine in which this takes place, or we try to read and spend time with the Lord. There can be, for others, this evangelism, how important it is. Now, we had some guests, and my wife and I have been quite amused, although we're not, I suppose we shouldn't be really, but this particular missionary lady who was staying with us is just a natural chatter, a chatter about the kingdom with whoever. And we're not all like that, are we? We're not all able to sit on the bus and lead the person next to us to Christ in three stops, are we? We can't do it. She can! And she does it regularly, you know. And you think, what's the matter with me? We went to Clacton, we had fish and chips, and the chap served us. Young chap. And she said, you're a nice young chap. Can I ask you something? Are you a Christian? Now, that's not something we can all do. My wife and I have reflected on the appropriateness of that. And also the fact that this sometimes, maybe in our culture, is not the kind of appropriate way to go about those things, can get under the slate. So there is this emphasis, and we all get carried away with a new evangelistic program, Alpha or faith sharing, whatever it is, and the priority of this takes over. Have you noticed that? Do you remember the whole interest the church had in the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Taken up with it completely. Not saying that's a bad thing, but taken up with it. Focus. Just a minute. consider. What a timely reminder with all the things that can overlay this and push it out. These words are, what are you about? What is the heartbeat? Consider it. Consider it. Because it's so easy for it to be pushed out. You know, the New Testament very clearly rings this bell of the priority of love again and again. And there's a full sort of valuable sermon one could enjoy on this whole subject of the priority of love. But just let me pick out a few of things that you'll be familiar with. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Do you ever watch Antique Roadshow? John's an honest man. Yes. And one of the things that they do is look for a fake. And sometimes the person who's the expert will turn the thing over and look for the hallmark that indicates it's genuine. And that is what Jesus is saying here. The hallmark of Christian faith is seen in love. By this shall all men know, not that you read your Bible every day, or that you can lead a person to Christ in 3 bus stops, or that you can speak in tongues, but that you have love one for another. That was what lay at the heart of the kingdom. What was it Paul said? He was talking about the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12. We read chapter 13. He goes on to talk about the gifts of the Spirit in 14 of 1 Corinthians. But in the middle, what does he do? He says, and now I will show you a most excellent way. A way which is more important than speaking in tongues, more important than wisdom and being clever, more important than prophecy or even self-sacrifice. And he then spells out what love is. Peter, 1 Peter 4:8, above everything. Now that says something for a man who had known the love of Jesus very personally. Above everything, his testimony, above everything, he says, love one another. Constantly the bell rings. There's a priority that can be pushed out. Consider how we may spur one another to love and good deeds. It's a call for the church. It's a conceptual call. It lies at the heart. The concept is at the heart of this thing called the kingdom. The third thing, it was also a call to action, not intellect. Don't know all about love, remember, and philosophize. Spur one another up to good deeds, to let that come out in action. A call to consider whether that love is finding its way out in our actions. As a church, now in the early church you find in Acts, there were a number of examples of how this happened. They shared life together in the way in which they came together as a community of people in chapter 2 and shared their possessions. Chapter 6, they created a fund for widows. And they haven't been going long. Barnabas goes and sells a patch of land and contributes it to the kingdom and to the development of the church there. Dorcas makes garments that she gives to the poor. Lydia takes Paul into her roomy house, and while he's at work with the kingdom's business, she offers him hospitality. The Philippians, they actually sent money to enable Paul to do the work that he was doing. There were these actions, this love that's got behind the actions. Love is meant to lead to action, not just knowing about it. But I want to say something else here, because there's a crisis. Sometimes it's possible to be overactive. Do you know that? In church life, as you get older and as you get smaller in terms of numbers, you feel a duty to continue with all the things you did yesterday and the year before. And there they are, the 92-year-olds, still coming to the youth club. And there's the 110-year-olds trying to rock the babies in the crèche. You know, we have to be realistic. And considering is something that needs to go on. Can we do this? Is it right for us to do this? Is our love being misspent with the amount of energy that we have? Consider. Consider. Sometimes it's possible to spread ourselves far too thinly so that what we do is a trickle rather than a flow. And sometimes it's possible to wear oneself out even more to the point of being burnt out. And sometimes Christians find themselves in that situation. I remember two Nigerian girls coming to us at Edmonton. And they were very lovely, very intelligent girls, and twins. Now, that was unusual. I've not actually come across twins in black culture other than these two. And one of them helped lead the Sunday school at the church they went to. The other was the treasurer. Quite a burgeoning, busy, full of life church. And they tumbled in the door this Sunday morning. And I got chatting, as one does. Well, as one does as the minister. That's your job, isn't it? Yeah. You. Anyway, found these things out to the point that they were about burnt out, worn out. Life was so taken up with these things, there was hardly room to breathe. And they were quite intelligent girls with busy jobs, demanding jobs. Now, Jesus doesn't say, come to me and I'll wear you out. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. But their burden was heavy. And I had to say to them after a few weeks, look, just come. Use us as an umbrella. Shelter under our umbrella. And if the Lord says, go back, go somewhere else, stay where you are, do as you're told. Don't worry. Just come and revive. They did, and for years they came. They left the church that they were in, but they never got involved immediately for some years because they were burnt out. And this is one of the tragedies that we can find ourselves in, that the congregation reaches a point it needs to consider what it's involved in, whether it is appropriate to continue with whatever it is that's run for 60 years. It's a hard decision. Sometimes we need to refocus where our strengths and gifts lie and where love can be expressed appropriately. How we can spur one another to action. What should those actions be? Should they be the same as they were? It's a collective call to consider as a church. It's a conceptual call to rethink, not to forget it, not to get it overlaid. It is an important concept there at the centre, the heartbeat of faith. And it's a call to action. What actions? And what actions are appropriate? And can we continue with the actions as we age and decline in numbers? The last thing is this. As you read the next verse, it's obvious that one of the ways in which the spurring up and the considering of love is to go on is among those who've fallen by the wayside. It's a call to pastoral concern. Not to forget those who, let us not forget to gather together, as is the habit of some. And he's obviously thinking about those who are falling away. Now, the whole of Hebrews is a letter, an appeal to those who might be actually going back to Judaism. And that's a sad kind of journey for them to make. And one of the things the writer is obviously linking with this is how is love being expressed to them? In his book, The Sheep That Got Away, Michael Fanstone, who was the Baptist minister, spent a sabbatical on research, and the book was the evidence of his work, about people who drop out of church and why. We're always rejoicing at people who come in. Now, there might be one or two who rejoice when they drop out. And there might be one or two ministers we might be glad when they move on. But there is a sense, a real sense here, that we welcome the stranger and the newcomer, but all too easily forget the dropper out. And that can be a very sad part of our life together. And a call to consider may ask us again to reflect on this. In his book, he tried to find out the reasons why this happened, that people came and they dropped out. And there were about 16 that he could identify, from boredom to burnout, which we talked about with the two twins. Leadership failing and loss of faith, things that happened in the church, and doubts that finally cast a shadow. Pastoral failings, expectations that were not actually realised at a point of need. To personal feelings that they don't really belong, they weren't made to feel part of the collective. All sorts of reasons. And sometimes I wonder whether we take seriously asking ourselves hard questions in this area of considering. Why has it happened? Because unless you ask the question, you can't get the answer, can you? Ignoring it's easy, but you need to ask the question. What further research has discovered is that often it takes 7 years before someone who's dropped out drops in again. 7 years. But often they do drop in again. And one of the things that I think is to be encouraged is that you don't let them feel that they have completely lost contact. No, when you're down in the town at the market, not talking to them if you see them. It's easy done, isn't it? Oh, they used to come. Doesn't take a lot, but we still recognise that we have a connection. The invitation for Christmas, go on, come. Break the habit of a lifetime. Go on, come. I'll come with you. What, you don't like the mince pies? Well, I don't really, so we'll skip the mince pies. But come, come. The Easter. Why don't you come at Easter and put on those services that you're proud that guests come to, that have got something special about them? And what about that September occasion that a few years ago, which I think came across from America, Come Back Sunday? What a tremendous opportunity it is when all the churches have what they call a comeback Sunday, maybe with harvest and harvest supper, the kind of occasions when people can come and you can invite them with confidence. Don't forget the ones who've fallen away, because that is a demonstration of your loving action too. Consider how to stir one another, spur one another, arouse one another to love and good deeds. It's a call to the church. It's a call to consider this concept again as it got overlaid, as it got pushed out. It's a call to action, not just intellectual thought. How does it affect the things we do? Can we do them? And don't forget those who used to be a part but have fallen away for whatever reason. Don't, in your consideration, fail to remember them. Let's pray.